I have a question that's going to warm your souls on this bitterly cold morning. What is death? Told you. No, but really, at its very core, in the simplest way of understanding it, what exactly is death? It's a division. For us human beings, death is a division of our body and our soul. The moment when the two of them are ripped apart, this is death. What is the source of death? God didn't create it. The source of death is division from God. It's separation from God. Do you remember the serpent's lie to Eve? That little lie in which it was, no, the Lord said you're going to die if you eat of that fruit. You're not going to die. And when they ate of it, did they just fall over? No. But there was a death that happened. They had divided themselves from God. They had divided themselves from God, and the physical death of their body followed. Years after, but it followed. The source of all death is our division from God. And it is that second and greater death of eternally being divided from God. Because the fall, this fracturing, what was the effects of it? Yes, it divided us from God. But every other division followed from that fracturing, that fall. The division of husband from wife, Adam and Eve, the accusation, she told me to eat it. The division of man against man, our brother against our brother, Cain and Abel. Humanity fractured amongst itself. All the divisions within our own being were divided from ourselves, from our body, from our soul. And everything else, our division from creation, all of it, it all goes back to the division of us from God. What did God do? What was His plan of salvation? Remembering that word salvation from the word salve, it's a healing. What was God's plan to heal this? At the core of it, He took and He formed a people. He formed a people who would be a light to the nations, to reflect His light to all the nations, that this people He formed, Israel, might draw all the rest of humanity back to God. And there were the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob. And what did He tell them essentially throughout? He told Israel, you must stay focused on Me. You must worship Me above everything else and love Me above everything else. Stay focused on Me. Do not get focused on all the other wars of the nations. Don't align yourselves with them. Don't worship other gods. But of course, Israel, this constant infidelity, right? And so this people He had formed in these 12 tribes, they began to fracture. It was the beginning of their death, the death of Israel. And what were the very first two tribes that broke off? I'll give you a hint. You heard them in the gospel and in the first reading. Zebulun and Naphtali. They aligned themselves with the Assyrians. They were crushed. Because they thought, oh, the Assyrians will give us protection. They'll keep us safe. No, they weren't. stay focused on God, they will not be your salvation. The Lord alone is your light and your salvation. Who is your light and your salvation? The Lord alone. Stay focused on Him. But instead, they're like, we're going to have our salvation. The Assyrians will save us. There's hope there. And so they align themselves. And you know what happened to them? They were obliterated, completely destroyed. God desecrated them, we hear. What is the very first thing that the Son of God does when He enters into His ministry? Jesus, who entered into our humanity and He entered into our death to bring us back to the life and the light of God, to heal that division, He goes to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. And it is there that He begins His ministry, the land of Galilee. He goes back to where the break began, as He always does. You can call it sort of this core wound of Israel. And this is what He does with us too. He goes to the core wound where the original break is at, and that's where He wants to heal it from the inside out. And so He goes to Zebulun, He goes to Naphtali, and what does He do? He begins to call His 12 what? Apostles, who will be the new 12 tribes of Israel. And what is He forming upon them? He's forming His church, which was meant and will be a light to the nations, to be His body in this world, to call all nations and to bring all peoples back to God, to heal the division between us and God. That His salvation won upon the cross might be lived out in His body, the church, built upon the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles. And what is the very first thing He does? Is He goes around and He begins healing every disease and illness. A sign of this greater healing that He is going to work. He's not just going around zapping people. You're healed. To like show off and flex. It's not what He's doing. He's doing this to show the healing that He is intent on bringing through the breaking of His very body and blood. It's amazing, isn't it? Paul, in the young church, the very young church, he's writing to the Corinthians, and what's going on there? They're fractured. And what does he essentially tell them? He says, Jesus Christ is your unity. He is your unity. You are His body. Don't put your hope, don't look for salvation and light from those ministers that God has given you. Every minister and every Christian, what's their purpose? What's your purpose and what's the purpose of every priest, of every sister, of everyone who is a Christian, in particular those who are called to lead? It's to bring people to union with Jesus Christ. And through that union with Him, union with the Father. And that like all Christians must become like John the Baptist, where they must decrease, that it's not about them. It's not about drawing people to them. It's about drawing people to the one who must increase, Jesus. Corinthians are all messed up. They're fractured, divisions. Paul screams at them in this letter, your unity is in Jesus Christ. He's the one in which you were baptized. He's the one in which you receive life. Your unity is within Him. A handful of years ago, there was someone who, they had just become a new Catholic. They had just entered the church after years of discernment and searching. And just after a month, a little after a month after she had entered the church, she went over on pilgrimage to Italy. And on the very last day of this pilgrimage, we visited the place where St. Benedict was born, and his sister Scholastica. It's this little town of Norcia. And during that time, the man who founded that Benedictine community there, Father Cashin, he spoke with the pilgrims who were there for about an hour. And after he had finished speaking with them, this girl went up to him and asked him, if he had any advice for someone like herself who was a brand new Catholic. And he said to her, he's a very wise and a very holy man. He said, stay focused on Jesus. There's many divisions, as you probably already know, he said to her, within the church. And all the different divisions within the world. Stay focused on Jesus. Because those divisions in the church and in the world, if you focus on them, they will create divisions within you. Stay focused on Jesus. Stay focused on Him. This isn't a mere hiding our heads in the sand. Because one, if they are to live their vocation as a Christian, which we are meant to bring the light of God into the world, especially in the areas of darkness, into the areas of division, one must be grounded and built up first in Jesus Christ. That His light has to be alive within us. Otherwise, if that's not there, if that's not within us, right, the light of Christ, what is it that we bring into the world when we engage with it? We're not just neutral spectators or neutral people within the world. If the light of Christ isn't that, and the life of Christ isn't that which is within us, what we bring into the world is further division and darkness. Let me give you an example of what it looks like to have that light alive within us. Just a couple days ago, I was gone a couple days this week. I was with a priest friend of mine, and we went one of the evenings to visit someone who was our teacher in seminary. He was one of our formators, Bishop Daniel Muggenberg. So he's the bishop now of Reno, Nevada. And so we went one evening and we went out to eat with him. But when we got there, we first went into his chapel and we prayed evening prayer. And he showed us this beautiful, it's this triptych. And at the center of it is this wood carving of Blessed Stanley Rother. You remember him? He's going to be one of these new American saints. He was a diocesan priest from Oklahoma. He died in 1981. And so he was telling us about this and where he got it and stuff. He bought it on eBay. It's amazing. But it's beautiful. And then he told us, right before we started evening prayer, he said, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be a priest. And he said that when he was a college student, he was back one summer, and there was this priest who he didn't know who he was, but he was back for some reason in the diocese. And a handful of times that summer, he served Mass for him. And he said, this Father Stanley, when he was in his presence and when he was serving for him, he said there was a presence about this priest. There was such a presence about him. He said he was a man who radiated a real and tangible peace. And he said there was the presence of Jesus Christ in him. And he said that presence of just being with this priest stirred something back in him that was there when he was a young boy. And it was this desire to serve God as a priest. And Father Rother, you remember because I shared with you at one point about him, he was a missionary down in Guatemala in which he had to come back for a while because it was caught. Guatemala was in a civil war. The two sides being both, there was the corrupt and bloody government and there was the corrupt and bloody rebels. And he was caught, and the Christian community was caught in the midst of it. And so he came back because his bishop brought him back and he came out of obedience. And he said, what do I do here? He said, a shepherd does not abandon his sheep. And his bishop encouraged him, stay focused on Jesus right now. He will lead us where to go next. And eventually he asked to go back and to be with his people. And he spilt his blood as a martyr for them. And his witness to the faith is what began to bring light into the midst of that horrible, dark and bloody place. His death, his witness. But he was only able to do that because he was focused on Jesus and what Jesus was doing and what he was calling him to. My dear people, I implore you, stay focused on Jesus. Because he is the one who, through his church, through you, through us, wills to bring his light and his salvation into the world and to draw all peoples to himself. But that does not happen. It cannot happen. We are focused on the divisions, whether in the church or the divisions within the world, in which there are many. Because if that's where our focus is, what we bring to the world is not something neutral. We bring further division and we bring darkness into it. But what Jesus will bring when our focus is first on him through anything he asks of us is then his light, and he brings through that his salvation. Focus on the Lord.